Hello, everybody. How are we all doing? Welcome back to another episode of Maternity Live. Today's episode, I think, is a really important one and, you know, is really the main goal and reason behind why I started this podcast in the first place, which was about being real and honest and open about my pregnancy journey and ultimately my maternity journey in general. And, you know, I am sharing with all of you today that I have been in the hospital for about a week. It has been one of the most difficult weeks I think I've ever had, but it started out as a routine doctor's appointment. I went to the doctor. I had some elevated blood pressure. I've never had high blood pressure at any point in time in my life, but it is definitely common for women, especially in their third trimester, to see their blood pressure spike. And that, coupled with the fact that I had a protein in my urine, became cause for concern for my doctor. They sent me to the hospital to get additional testing and some lab work done. And I was extremely grateful that Zach was able to come with me because, as you know, and I've spoken openly on my podcast before, you know, women were not allowed to have support partners in labor and delivery and postpartum, and the governor changed that. And amazing, wonderful. And so Zach and I came to the hospital. By the time I got here, my blood pressure was spiking really, really high. I was admitted like 30 minutes after we arrived, and we were tested for COVID upon arrival. We were both tested negative, and I can honestly tell you that that test was maybe one of the worst parts of the first 24 hours, just given how painful it is, in addition to the shots and the monitoring and the blood pressure cuff going off every 20 minutes. That test is something else. But within the first 24 hours I was here, they didn't know how long I was going to be here for, maybe another day or two just for monitoring to see what was going on. But after, you know, 24-ish hours, I had two different high blood pressure spikes over the course of a four-hour period. And obviously that, coupled with the protein in my urine, they diagnosed me with preeclampsia. So I obviously did not know that much about preeclampsia going into this experience. I'm still getting information every single day. The one thing that I did come to learn was that Kim Kardashian had preeclampsia with North. And so, you know, part of the reason why I'm sharing is that it does affect 5 to 8% of women, especially in the first pregnancy. So if my journey and my story is helpful to somebody in any way, like, that is the whole reason for this podcast. So that is why I am sharing my journey. And also, I'm such a big proponent of never Googling anything. And, you know, I've been really fortunate to be around a lot of nurses and doctors who I'm able to ask every waking question that I have about my condition too. And so I'm trying to get as informed as humanly possible on the state of my condition. But essentially, you know, it depends on when you get diagnosed with preeclampsia in your pregnancy. But in my case, they are keeping me here in the hospital indefinitely until I deliver, and until it's the right time to deliver, and until my body basically signals like it's go time. And honestly, that is an unknown amount of time. And so they made Zach leave the hospital. I will honestly tell you that that was one of the most difficult and emotional things I've ever had to deal with. I mean, here he was here. Thank God he was here, especially the first night, just able to be there for me. And I will keep it together, keep it together. I will never be as grateful for someone as I was for what Zach did for me in that first night in this hospital. And honestly, subsequently, because I am not allowed to have any support partner visit me in the indefinite time that I am here. So I have now been here alone for a week. I will be alone here in the hospital for the foreseeable future. And even though many of the rules have changed from a labor, delivery, postpartum, and even NICU perspective, this whole notion of antepartum or prepartum has been completely neglected and completely forgotten. And it's just the most wild thing. I mean, I talk to the nurses and the doctors about it every single day. They feel absolutely horrible that I'm here by myself. It has been one of the most emotional roller coasters I've ever been on. And, you know, I obviously like can't leave my room and I can't go outside. And I realize that we're living in a pandemic, but, you know, you have situations in the NICU where people are able to come in and out every day and visit their babies, but I can't have any visitors here in the same building in antepartum. And I don't even know how long I'm going to be here for. Oh, and my husband also tested negative for COVID and they sent him away. So I know Zach, I know he would come here in a full mask, cape, like literally cover himself from head to toe. He would stand 6 feet away from me just to be able to be here for me. And that coupled with the fact that, you know, when you're pregnant, everything makes you anxious. You worry about everything 24/7. And I do think that there's some element of being in a hospital and being constantly monitored that does make you, you know, that eases some of that anxiety, because, you know, if something were to, God forbid, go awry, like, you're in the right place, you're in the right care. And honestly, I can't say enough good things about the care that I'm getting here, the incredible nurses and the doctors. I'm so grateful and I'm so appreciative. And I think, you know, the reason why I'm in the situation in the first place is because we do have really good prenatal care in this country, and the things that they look out for and the things that they know to look out for and test you for at different weeks and whatnot all helps to make you, you know, have as safe and as healthy of a journey as possible. But on top of the fact that, you know, I will be alone indefinitely before I deliver, and then delivery, which is, it can be, you know, I talk openly about the fact that I'm like terrified of delivery. I have absolutely no idea what to expect. And, you know, I'm grateful that I'm here on bed rest, and bed rest has been doing wonders for my body. But, you know, I feel this responsibility and obligation to keep it together 24/7, because if I don't, then I can cause my blood pressure to spike. And if I cause my blood pressure to spike, that causes the preeclampsia to move into a more severe preeclampsia phase. And so there's like a lot weighing on my emotional state, and like I am doing the best that I can, but it is extremely difficult. I mean, people talk a lot about postpartum and postpartum anxiety, but like prepartum, antepartum anxiety is very real too. I don't think that I would have known anything about it ever if I didn't experience it, but there are a whole floor of women here and in many hospitals around the country who are alone, like I am, just like alone with their thoughts 24/7. And as a pregnant person myself, like I not only like sympathize for myself, but like I sympathize for all of those women. Like it's really not easy. It's so hard to be in a situation where you can barely do something for yourself in the first place. I mean, like for me, my big activity of the day is taking a shower. You know, like this is coming from somebody who like prides herself on being productive and like doing things for others and like working and cooking and being. And to be honest with you, like I know that I, you know, said in passing many times that I felt like quarantine was almost like self-imposed bed rest. But to be honest with you, I think it actually caused a lot more stress to my life than I even thought. And I think a lot about that often, where it's like, one, if we weren't in quarantine and I was like out in the world and like going, you know, to work and whatnot every day, like would I have spiked my blood pressure and would these symptoms have come on sooner and would I have had complications sooner? And two, it's like the quarantine and just like mental health issues around the quarantine in general, like you can't separate work from home and home from work. And it's just like one big blob of life where you can't turn off. And I think like if you listen to any of the episodes of Maternity Live prior to this, where like I was having trouble sleeping and I was trying to like feel productive. I mean, you know, I'm by no means saying that that's a contributing factor to my health issues, but I think overall, like my environment and the environment that I was living in, my husband said to me, he's like, Olivia, I hope that this makes you realize that like you can do less and you can operate not at 100% and like everything is okay. And like, honestly, I'm so encouraged by how well my body is responding to bed rest. Like that has been really eye-opening for me to just like calm down and be chill. And it's like, okay. And I got the physical part of that down, but like, I'm definitely really struggling on the emotional side because like, I'm totally alone. I can't see my husband and I can't, you know, this should be like this should be our time before the baby comes. And You know, we FaceTime every day, many times a day, and we watch our TV shows together at the same time while we FaceTime, but it's not the same. Like, the next time I'm going to see him is going to be in the delivery room. It just feels so wrong, and it just feels like it's alarming to me that, like, this whole period of pregnancy and antepartum has just been, like, glossed over. And I know that it's because, you know, I didn't even know the word antepartum before I got here. Like, I don't think many people do. You know, you don't even realize that, like, yes, you know, we're living through a pandemic and it's absolutely crazy times. But, like, there have been situations that have changed at hospitals all across the country for different aspects of pregnancy. But, like, they just left this one out. Like, how is that right? How is that normal? Oh, and my husband tested negative and he was here and they sent him home. And he tries to, like, find my room and, like, you know, find his way to the window and just, like, so we can wave and see each other. And then he got chased away by some security guard from hospital security because he wasn't a hospital employee. I'm sorry to get worked up about it. I wanted to be honest and open and share. And honestly, like, this is where I'm going to be for the foreseeable future. So it didn't feel right to not tell people and not tell my maternity livers, like, what's going on. Because that's not what I promised you, and that's not who I am. I have been honest and open about my experience thus far, and this is a huge part of my experience. And it just, like, other than the fact that I feel like I'm sequestered in isolation here in the hospital, like, I don't want to be sequestered in isolation, like, with my own thoughts and feel like I'm in hiding. Like, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I just think the system is fucking broken. And if there's other women that are going through this, and if they're alone like I am, like, my goodness. If I have any opportunity to just shed some light on the fact that this is so wrong, and, like, the fact that antepartum women have just been completely neglected, then that I feel like is an obligation. And from the second I got here, I told Zach this. I was like, I am going to become an antepartum crusader. And I mean it. Because, like, people don't talk about antepartum at all. And pregnancy is so hard. And we know about, you know, morning sickness in the first trimester and all these different things. But people do not talk about, you know, hospitalization in the third trimester. And then couple that with living through a pandemic. And everybody here, all the nurses and the doctor, they feel awful. Like, they feel awful that I'm here by myself. There's nothing they can do. It is, like, up to the hospital administrators to just make some sort of decree. So if you are a hospital administrator, I am making a decree. Take care of your antepartum patients. Let them have a support partner. Whether even that person visits from 6 feet away once a week. It's something. Because otherwise, I'm just going to be here for an unknown amount of time, completely by myself. And not just me. The hundreds, if not thousands, of women across the country. And it's just wrong. So here's my one big ask coming out of today's podcast. If you or someone you know has access to or knows somebody at the governor's office, please send them this podcast. They need to understand the ramifications of their decision-making policies on antepartum women that they have just completely forgotten about. And I feel like it is my obligation to shed light on what it's like to be an antepartum woman here in New York City, which, to be honest with you, when I heard that the governor issued an executive order and changed labor and delivery and postpartum and all these things, like, I thought we were all covered. I really did. And I was not informed. And now that I'm in this situation, I know it is my obligation to help inform as many people as possible and really shed a light on what it's like to be antepartum in New York City. This is such a highly emotional, such an anxiety-inducing time. And if we can all unite together to help the women currently experiencing this, and God forbid any women that will come after in the weeks to come while this has not been overturned, like, I know we can do it. Like, I know we can come together. I know we can shed some light on the situation. And I think the more information that we can share and for people to know what it's like, the better. So that is my only ask coming out of this podcast. If you know somebody, send it around. Let them know that their decision-making power has real emotional implications on women who really emotionally need that support. And I want to just give a quick shout out to Thrive Market. Thrive Market delivers the highest quality organic and non-GMO groceries right to your door for a lot less than you're paying now. And they help out families in need. They cater to over 70 different diets and values, from paleo to keto to plant-based. And they also offer clean beauty, bath products, pet staples, non-toxic cleaning products, ethical meat, sustainable seafood, and so much more. Honestly, my Thrive Market snacks have really been keeping me going. Hospital food is not my favorite. And I am able to also send snacks to Zach and take care of him from afar and have him stay healthy and on track, which has been really wonderful for me to be able to do. And so not only do I feel great about getting a great deal on awesome, clean, organic products, but I also love that they are helping support families in need. In addition to membership matching, Thrive Market is matching donations to COVID-19 relief efforts, dollar for dollar. Thrive Market is working 24/7 to make sure members are getting their groceries delivered as fast as possible, and you can learn about their commitments to customers and membership matching on their website. So Thrive Market and becoming a Thrive Market member is risk-free. Go to thrivemarket.com/live. Join today. You'll get up to $20 in shopping credit towards your first order. That's thrivemarket.com/live to start your risk-free membership and get up to $20 towards your first order. Zach wanted me to tell you that he loves the Lily's milk chocolate peanut butter cups. I think he ate the entire bag the day that they arrived. I can't say enough good things about Thrive Market. Use code LIVE and see why today. So that's my story. I will obviously keep everybody updated on what's going on here. And my hope is that things can change. They tell me here that, you know, they're actively trying to change things all the time. There was apparently some town hall yesterday where they decided not to change the rules. So, you know, it's just day by day. I take it day by day. Every day is a good day. And I have some good days. I have some bad days. And I'm learning a ton about pregnancy and about antepartum and about, you know, different things that can be happening with your body at different points in time. And, you know, what things like preeclampsia mean and what high blood pressure means and all the different symptoms that I need to look out for that could potentially worsen over time. Things like, you know, headaches and, you know, blurry vision and, you know, also like having the difference between constipation and a cramp and gas pain. I mean, every day, like the nurses come in there here, they're like, are you having any contractions? I'm like, I don't even know what a contraction feels like. But then it's crazy. They hook you up to these monitors and they're like, we're seeing some movement. We've seen a few contractions here and there. And I'm like, that is so wild because like, I don't feel anything. Or if I feel something, it just feels like a period cramp or a gas pain. And I'm like, okay, I recognize that feeling. And then I just move positions and I feel better. And it's just so wild. Like, I feel like I'm obviously going through this journey and in my body's experiencing a whole new host of things. And, you know, to some extent, I'm obviously so grateful that I'm here in the hospital. Like every little thing that happens, I can just ask anybody at any given time, you know, what this means or what to look out for. And it definitely eases a lot of my concerns on a regular basis. But like, they take my blood pressure every few hours. And every time that I have a good blood pressure, it like, it really keeps me going. Like I have to be calm. I have to keep going for the sake of my baby. And like, this isn't about me anymore. But like the part that is about me that can affect all these things is the emotional piece. So I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm doing okay. I really am. I don't want to make it seem like I'm not. Like, I'm very much doing okay. And I know that in the end, this is just all part of the journey. It's going to be a great, amazing journey. And even my doctor said to me, which I like, is so true. It's just like so hard to fathom. She's like, this is going to be such a blip on the radar for you down the line. And it's true. I just can't even fathom that because it's like literally my whole life right now. But I do know that. And I'm trying to keep like a clear and, you know, straight, narrow head and keep it together as best that I can. And so that's really all that I have for you today with today's episode, because I don't really think that there's anything else more important to share than just the God's honest truth. And that is my story. So as always, thank you for tuning into Maternity Live. Thank you for your support. Thank you for, you know, for listening. And I hope that in some way, me sharing what I'm going through, you know, not only sheds light on something that I think needs a lot of light shed on it, but also if you're going through the same thing, if you have preeclampsia, just know I'm here for you. I know what you're going through. That's been something for me, just trying to figure out, you know, more information on preeclampsia. And if I can be helpful to anybody in any way, obviously I am happy to be. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for your support. You know, I love hearing from you. Join our Maternity Livers Facebook group. I promise to keep you all updated and continue to share as the weeks go on and as my situation develops. I love you all. Have a wonderful week. Until next time. Bye, everybody.